For our first interview today, we have the Vancouver Humane Society's Executive Director, Amy Morris, on the show to speak about their campaign, Because They Matter. 1 in 10 people experiencing homelessness have companion animals, and their bonds are unbreakable. When people need to access veterinary care for their animals and are experiencing a period of low or no income, they often don't know where to turn. This is where the Vancouver Humane Society's new program comes in. On July 25th, participants will safely distribute harnesses, dog treats, leashes, and blankets to people and animals who spend their days on the streets while sharing information about Vancouver Humane Society's emergency veterinary funds. Amy is here today to speak on the barriers that keep structurally vulnerable people from accessing veterinary assistance for their companion animals and how you can help with the Because They Matter campaign. Hello, Amy, and welcome to the Animal Voices show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on the show today to discuss these issues. The Vancouver Humane Society has also recently published a report called Addressing Animal Neglect Through the Provision of Veterinary Outreach Services. And I'd like to talk about some of the findings in this report. It starts with saying that people who are structurally vulnerable are consistently confronted by a society that does not provide support to maintain the human-animal bond. I know this to be true because our Canadian system is not even equipped to fully provide the needed support for the vulnerable people themselves. Can you start by telling us about the multiple barriers that these animal guardians face in keeping a companion animal?
Certainly. You know, ultimately, the reasons that people are experiencing barriers tends to be related to systemic poverty or systemic discrimination. And so the outcome of these two kind of systemic problems tends to be a challenge of being employed, people experiencing homelessness, people experiencing domestic violence, lack of access to education, and maybe they have a criminal record and that's linked to their difficulty being employed, short-term or long-term physical health challenges or mental health challenges, the use of substances, having come to the community recently, immigration, being a former child in care, and so much more. So these are barriers to accessing any kind of services. And then having a pet and caring for a pet, although the benefit is so strong, makes these barriers even more challenging.
Right. And in the report, I was actually reading that there's an estimated 500 to 600,000 people in British Columbia who live below the poverty line. So that estimates about 230,000 households in that segment who would have animals. And that represents about 100,000 animals in need in BC. That's just incredible when you think about that, because this is actually a really large segment of our society, right? And it's just something that can't be ignored. It needs to be addressed.
Absolutely. And certainly there's a challenge, particularly because there's some assumption perhaps that people who are low income would not have pets. Some people think, okay, well, maybe they're a luxury. But really, people who are low income tend to have pets even more so because they are a safety net for the person. They are a constant companion. They are mental health support. They're someone to love and to love back. And ultimately, all of those mean that it's even more important to keep that bond together.
Yeah, that's so true. So, companion animals, they're falling through the cracks in our social system. Can you describe for us an example scenario of how this comes to be, especially when animals have such a crucial place in their relationships with humans that should be recognized?
Well, certainly, our healthcare system does provide certain supports to a certain degree for people. So something like perhaps medications that provide mental health support are covered, but beings like pets who also provide the same kind of supports aren't really considered under the healthcare system, even though they're really a huge part of it. And so ultimately, since they're left out of sort of the healthcare system, they end up sort of being left out of considered family. Kids, for example, are considered family. There's special funding provided if you have kids and support for helping your kids. But if you have pets, the same kind of considerations just aren't made by policy. And so what happens is social service agencies may not have the thought or the supports in place, traditional agencies. And so then it's left to animal welfare or animal support agencies to sort of fill in those gaps to support the animals.
Right. Your report speaks about trauma and PTSD for obviously the humans, but the animals as well. Can you describe for us, just for our listeners, to paint a picture of how animals in these situations can be experiencing PTSD and that surrendering or relinquishing one's animal to get vet care in the social structure that we do have is not the best solution to these issues because there's the animal's mental welfare at risk as well?
Sure. Yeah, I think something so simple as an animal having a mass on it. So if someone who hasn't experienced systemic poverty, who has experienced privilege in their life, has a pet and they get a mass on them, what happens is they go to the vet, they pay the vet, the mass is removed, nothing, you know, that you move on from there. But when a person who's really reliant on their pet has a really strong bond with them but has no income, it is dealing with the same situation, they have to make a decision between themselves having maybe housing or food or, you know, their basic needs and their pet having their needs met. And so that decision is really unfair. It creates an enormous amount of conflict. And, you know, if the pet were to be surrendered, sure, the pet would get the medical care, but they would experience a significant loss from the bond they had with their person. You can imagine, you know, if you have any animals in your life, they're upset when they're separated from you. They know you, they trust you. And so it's really unfair to do that to pets just so that they can get the medical care they need.
Right. And that's sort of how our system works now, is that if someone cannot afford vet care, the only way that they might get care is to have to relinquish the animal, which it's just unmanageable to me because that ruins everything. Like it's just destroying the whole relationship that people have with their animals. You know, you're tearing a family member apart, and that's not what vulnerable humans need either, right? So as you described, there's no social safety net. There needs to be a social safety net in place for these situations, and the intentions of this reporter to provide sound practices for those working in these environments. So that is for social services, vet clinics, and animal welfare organizations. So how can these multi-barriered human-animal relationships be honored while still getting the help that these animals need?
Well, really, you know, there's a couple different ways. One is animal agencies, social service agencies, and vet clinics all shifting their own way that they provide services. So there's lots of small things that can be done, such as engaging in open conversations to better understand a person's needs, to partnering to provide for, you know, a person and their pet's needs, and collaboration. So maybe one agency has a little bit of money and another agency has a little bit. Well, how can that be combined to get the best outcome? And finally, it's just coming at it really with a deep respect for the individual and the pet being served. Certainly, it's not covered in the report, but something that we've learned after this point from an agency called CARE out of the United States is that they found that 97% of people working in animal welfare had an unconscious bias against people in poverty. And so although they're working in this field, they're seeing that, you know, there's sort of a bias of privilege, and it results in really inequitable circumstances. And so it's time for us to acknowledge our own biases as, you know, organizations and individuals, and turn things around to give people the respect that will help their pets and keep them together.
Well, it sounds like you're describing this new concept that I found out about in your report called One Welfare. Can you please tell us about the concept of One Welfare?
Yeah, One Welfare, what's really interesting in it is it takes into account both human well-being, animal well-being, but also the environment that we're situated in. And I have to admit that while this concept is newly branded, while it's sort of out there as, you know, there's logos and everything, I think it's also a concept that has existed in Indigenous knowledge for kind of time immemorial, where there's this recognition of having a balance with those around us, and that care can only happen to ourselves if we're caring for others and caring for our where we live. And so this can apply in so many different circumstances, this concept, but ultimately what it means is we are making decisions based on a collective understanding rather than just, you know, maybe one problem, I'll solve that one problem and I'll forget the rest of what makes you you. And so that's what we need to work towards is, okay, how do we overall improve people's and animals' quality of life as a kind of cohesive project?
Well, that's a great concept, and I really hope to see it being carried forward in our communities. Can you tell us about how VHS is implementing One Welfare in the work that you do? And then please also let us know about the Because They Matter fundraising campaign.
Certainly. So, you know, one way that we're doing this is we're really looking at trauma-informed practice. We understand that to be more on par with what social service agencies are doing is really, you know, to recognize that everyone has some amount of trauma and that that impacts their behaviors, their decision making, you know, and the same goes for pets. And so when we speak with clients who are accessing assistance to, you know, veterinary services and we're providing funding for them, we're not just having a cold transaction where it's, yep, okay, you can get funding, we'll call the vet, bye. It's more so, okay, where are you at? What's going on? What supports do you have? What supports do you still need? And how do we make sure that your whole experience at the vet is positive as well? And so when sometimes people have experiences of maybe discrimination at the vet, or maybe they don't feel heard, and so they can come back to VHS and share that, and then we can act as kind of an intervener by better, you know, grabbing that information and speaking between so that there's a clear understanding and a better path forward. Sometimes the interactions are just perfect and we don't need to get involved at all, and those are great. So it's just about taking each case as it comes and providing that care that we know the best outcome will be that the animal gets the care that they need, particularly because the person will have absorbed all of the information. You know, and you're in a state of stress when you're at a vet. I think everyone can agree on that, that, you know, I personally have a lot of anxiety about going to the vet. And so, you know, how do we better support folks in getting the information after the fact so that when they're a bit calmer, you know, all the care instructions and everything are easier to absorb. So the Because They Matter fundraising campaign is really fundraising to support this work. And in particular, it's a combination fundraising, but also outreach event. And so we'll be gathering supplies from pet stores and handing them out to people on the downtown east side, as well as sharing about the funding we have for emergencies. Because one of the biggest things we know is that sometimes when people are in emergency, they don't know what's available to them. And sometimes vets don't think to share that. And so that's the time that people are most in crisis, and we want to support them during that time.
Well, thank you very much, Amy Morris, Executive Director of the Vancouver Humane Society, for coming on the show to share with us this information about people in vulnerable situations and how they can be provided help for their animals who need vet services and other services as well. If you would like to read the report discussed here yourself to see full details, you can find it posted on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, as well as on our website at animalvoices.org in the post for today's show. You can also find a link there to the Because They Matter campaign to make a donation to the fundraiser for the outreach that is happening on July the 25th. Also, remember to visit vancouverhumane.ca to find out more about the great work of this organization to protect animals. Thank you once again, Amy, for this talk, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. You as well.